3-foot cloth that I'm supposed to
disinfect it.
Oh, it's still got little holes in the bottom of the roof. And, you know, lymphatic fluids will actually pressurize them. So, yeah, that just matters what he's doing. Nope.
NY2H. Well, yeah, they had to put a drain in it. It was all fuzz, and I was relieved. They put me on, you know, a different antibiotic, and that all cleared up, and it's been fine for 3 or 4 weeks now. But if it does flare up within the 8 weeks, then they want to do that other procedure. It begins with an A, appliqué or something, where they do surgery through the top of the gum. And I guess that's what you're talking about, the tip of the roots going in from the, instead of from the tooth, but going in from the gum level or something.
Got it. MI2HK2J. Actually, my dentist uses a laser. It goes around the gums, and actually it causes the, stem cell to actually regenerate the bone material around it.
Well, that's interesting. Well, you know, I have one implant. When I got the implant, they seeded, they take cadaver bone, take bone out of a dead person, and they little pellet of it, and they put it in, and your bone grows over that. It stimulates bone growth. The bone, man.
Yeah, it does. Let's just say what the last couple of years of dental research has brought about. By the way, how's this with Peter standing?
Oh, it sounds all right over here.
Yeah, where am I? I'm not far enough away yet. I'm just coming up to, 58?
Andy, he gave me a call this morning because I was interested in maybe getting a tower. And he came across a silent key, recent silent key, whose son wants to sell a tower. And it's a, Andy says it's much like his. It's a 60-foot crank-up, tilt over, but it sounds like it hasn't been used for a while. It's got ivy all around it, and it's in Westbury. It'd be a real job to take it. I called the guy today, and I'm wondering, you know, is the guy just happy to get rid of it if he wanted anything for it? He really didn't have an answer, so I said, well, think about it and give me a call, you know. If it makes sense, maybe we can do something. But I, you know, I wouldn't pay too much. I mean, it's going to be a job and a half.
How tall is it?
I think it's 60 extended. I think it's 20 collapsed.
Crank up, yeah?
Yeah, I think he says it's motorized for the crank up, and then it's got a manual winch tilt over.
Yeah, it's cool, but really need to inspect it. Whole tower is fatigued, you know.
Yeah, that's what I'm worried about. I mean, what do you look for? Rust? Or, you know, I don't know. Sounds like a lot of work. And, I figured I'd bring a couple experts along, maybe. I think Andy said, I think Don Kane helped him. He's a professional engineer. He knows what he's doing with all that stuff. And I think Jeff helped him also. I went. He's got some experience, too. And you probably have some experience. What would you look for? I guess just fatigue, but I'd probably miss it. I wouldn't know.
Yeah, well, if you talk to Dick, he'll give you the... he'll scare you. the thing you really ought to do is look at the galvanizing and see if any of it's solid, you know. Any of it's worn through or rusted through or flaked off.
Yeah, and then someone was telling me, I guess you could recode it. The one person said it should be sanded down, bare metal, and then recoded. And somebody else, who's actually got a business where they do stainless steel and things like that, manufacturing, said there was product out there where you didn't have to strip it down. You could actually apply it over, but I don't know.
Well, the one that I had in Astoria, I had re-dipped, but... in the city, you can find a place in Brooklyn that actually does that. I don't know if it's still around. It's quite a number of years ago, but no, that's the right way to do it.
Well, all the more hassle, it sounds like. You know, like just getting it over here from Westbury would be a hassle. I recommended my son-in-law has a pickup truck, so someone recommended getting like a 16-foot trailer or something like that. I don't have access to a flatbed. I don't know if they rent them, but they do rent trailers.
Well, pulling something like that could be fun. You know, a lot of trailers, things you can use for that. If you've got a hitch on the back of your car. You got a place for the thing?
Yeah, so my backyard, I figure, I think I'll have it tilt diagonally on the back. I have some trees in the back, but I think they're probably far enough that I could crank the thing down. And what I like now, you know, I had a tubular tower like in the 70s in my other house. When I used to crank that thing down, it had a TH-60XX tribander on it, and I used to have to take the tribander apart just to be able to reach the middle of the antenna. So as I'm cranking the thing down, you know, I have to take a couple elements off, crank it down more. But now they have this tilt mechanism. Probably you've seen it, gravity tripped or whatever, but so that the antenna stays parallel to the ground as you crank it down, so you can crank it down all the way. And then Andy was saying on his, he put a couple of legs, like bipod or something, so when his comes down, the legs come out, and then he can rest it on the legs and take the stress off of the cable.
Yeah, I'd see what Andy has. Yeah, sort of. Wonder if he ever put anything on it. Yeah, well, just make sure when the thing's fully extended that it can't fall on any power lines or anything.
See, that's the other thing. And that's what stopped, because I was thinking of getting like a Glenn Martin on the roof or something, but in front of my house, you know, at the curb line, got, you know, above ground wiring, and top wire is, you know, multiple KV, whatever it might be, 713, I don't know, feeding the transformers in the neighborhood. The bare thin wire up there.
Yeah, good luck with that. It's nice to have a tower. Janine would kill me if I put one up in the backyard.
Yeah. I mean, I probably at this age I shouldn't go crazy. It's probably too, you know, I'd be satisfied with a hex beam. And it's actually on one of those websites, the guy's got a nice little project. It's made out of wood, actually. A wooden mast for a hex beam, because they're pretty light. You know, and I'd like to get maybe, you know, a Gavita beam up there, and maybe a 440. A hex beam, that's enough. So this might be overkill. Digging that cement, you know, the whole the volume of cement in the ground and the whole bit. But I'd have to keep it low, like I say. So I guess I'm trying to figure out how high I could go where if the thing did tilt, it would still miss the wires. And it's hard for me to conceptualize just by eye. You know. So, but a lot of those people using hex beams, they're having pretty good success and not that high. No, so, I mean, no. But I just want to get something done because the weather's breaking now and I don't want to let another warm season go. I'll wait another year.
Too many radios. Yeah, well, you got the whole warm season coming ahead of you to do stuff. By the way, what's the elevation where you are?
It's about 160. So it's not too bad. I'm at 160.
Not too bad. That's really high for Long Island. So, you know, another 40 feet. I don't know if you get over Jane Hill, but you'd be doing good.
Yeah, I think that's why I do pretty well now. I have the vertical, and it's maybe, I don't know, 5 feet above the roof line at the base of it. And my house it's a split ranch, so it's only maybe 17, 18 foot high. So maybe the vertical's at 20 feet above ground, so that'd be about 180 feet. So that's probably why I do well, you know, into Glen Oaks from out here.
No, consider this. The house of Astoria, there's three stories. So, you know, the top of the house is about 60 feet. It's basically built on landfill, so, you know, it's only about 14 or 15 feet above sea level. But with my secondary polarized beam, how many elements is that? That was 14 elements. I could zero in on Sheldon with no problem.
NY2H, did you say it was circular polarized?
Yeah, I used to do a lot of satellite stuff, so I've got two cross-polarized beams. It'd be the right-hand circular polarization or left-hand, depending upon which way you throw the switch. Actually, the computer did the throwing of the switch.
So you get equal results probably working horizontally polarized stations, like on Simplex, you know, on like sideband, and vertically on FM?
No. I was really into doing satellites, so you actually mount it 45 degrees from the ground. It looks like an X, bottom of the X is parallel to the ground. But if I had wanted to, which I could have set it up so that, you know, it's either horizontal, vertical, or circular.
Now, I lived in Ronkonkoma for a couple of years, and we had some elevation there, too. And I had a beam antenna for 2 meters. I forget how many elements. This is back in the 70s. And that was really good. I used to hit the Chrysler machine, 1 watt. So that was nice.
MY2HK2J. Well, in the backyard, I still have my 22-element long john at 2 meters. It's in miserable shape. It needs a little fixing. You know, it's got the integral preamp mounted on it. It's a really nice antenna. You could hear stuff from really far away with that thing.
Yeah, the preamp is nice up there. Yeah. All right, well, we'll see. Shall see. Still sound good. I don't know where you are.
No, I'm almost home. I should be firing up the logo receiver brightly. Yeah, I was gonna say something. It just completely slipped my head. What's I gonna say? I'll remember.
Yeah, right. Well, okay. So, did you swap out the? I'm sorry, I don't remember. Did you swap out the DSL?
Yes, I have the bad modem in the car with me. That bad modem... Actually, you should be able to dial into it now without any problem. And by the way, I did a speed test on the old one, a speed test on the new one. New one's a little faster.
Oh, that's interesting. I should listen. Okay, so when they went down, when Dick was saying it was down, you were swapping it out, I guess, at that time. And then when they came back, that was the new one, I suppose. Interesting. And I think this is all a result of lightning strikes?
That's very possible. I have lost, I mean, this will be like the third modem we've lost up there. It usually happens in the summertime. It's not necessarily a lightning strike to the tower, but, you know, that copper is a pretty high place, and it's a pretty long antenna, and it does have a tendency to build up nice charges when there's lightning around.
Yeah, I wonder if we could put a discharge, what do you do with antennas? You can, kind of toroid or something, I don't know. Something to discharge any kind of DC on the phone line.
Oh, you don't want to discharge DC on your phone line. Your phone line won't work. But, I look at the terminal mansion block, the standard Verizon box. It's supposed to have the little gas discharge bolt, but I don't think it does. So. I mean, I gotta look for my junk. I probably have the good old Western Electric lightning protector.
NY2AJ, you know, as soon as I said it, let off the mic, I said, no, that's not right. I said, you can't discharge the DC. But yeah, I guess there are ways, right, to mitigate the buildup. But even then, wouldn't that be, I guess, I don't know if that's a conventional hot line also, which means that if you show it a DC path, right, you engage it. So can it actually, I don't know, does it build up on the line? Well, I guess that's not a short. It's more like a going towards an open. I don't know. But anyway, you have something from Western Electric. Okay, that might fit the bill. Protect the modem. All right. So the firmware, it was the firmware was gone. No, I never, if, you know what we need out there? I mean, would be convenient. It's one of those devices where it shares the keyboard and the monitor. You know, you can switch between the two without having to unplug everything and plug it in the other machine. And then, of course, in the Windows machine, if you plug in the keyboard, it's not going to work until you reboot again. You know, a real pain in the brain. So that's why I'm lazy. I wasn't going to even look at that, you know.
You know, I probably got a 2 or 3 port TV. I'm sure it's a more. We could actually upgrade computers or something to self-care. Now, I'm also out of room. That monitor is now too big, but that's why I mean, I want to have a party to rebuild everything. What I want to do is take the mount off the back of that monitor, mount it to the screw it to the door, so that way there's some place to stay and I don't have to flop it around.
Yeah, now when I left, I plugged the Linux. The theory I had was that the modem had a reboot, so I plugged the modem into regular power and I plugged the Linux into the UPS, hoping that the Linux would stay up. Because when I went there last time, the Linux was still up and all I had to do was repower the modem and it came back. So I left it that way. So what did you do? Where did you plug the modem? Did you put it on UPS or did you put it in directly?
No, I put it in directly. I was a little annoyed that there was a cable that runs to the controller, but the UPS was pinching and crunching because somebody didn't look when they put the UPS down there.
Ah, maybe it was me. Maybe I did that last time. Sorry about that. But yeah, it's tight in there. I know. Well, anyway, I guess good to go for a little while. I won't have to go there every 3 days. That'll be cool.
Yeah, I think that's all. It's open. Anyway, I'm in the driveway. I'm gonna go edit the car and unload it tomorrow. Hi, NY2HK2, yeah.
All right, Eric. You made good time. All right. Have a good evening. Talk to you maybe tomorrow. KE2HA, NY2H.
Have a good evening. KE2J.
Number 3, gentlemen. KE2WGB, clear.
Number 3, John. You have a good evening also. Catch you tomorrow also. NY2H, clear.
KC2WGB testing. KC2WGB testing, Nuke 5. KC2WGB clear.
Net tonight at 8:30. This is the WQVL Amateur Radio Repeater System.
Thank you for visiting the Long Island Mobile Amateur Radio Club Repeater System, node number 9126 on the New England Reflector.
Link clear.
Auto connecting.
Node number 9126.
Welcome to the Long Island Mobile Amateur Radio Club Repeater System, node number 9126 on the New England Reflector.
Link active.
Thank you.
tonight at 8:30 W2VL repeater system.
Thank you. my plane? I'm going to Hawaii. It's a Chrysler this time. Reliable. In Hawaii, I'm going to Hawaii.
Thank you.
W2VL Amateur Radio Repeater System.
Programming. and he also wanted to go into the arts, the drama, or like musical theater, and act and sing. He took singing lessons, took piano lessons, and his singing voice is much better. The piano is incredible. He plays like Haydn pieces and like Beethoven's Requiem and stuff like that. It's amazing. But we didn't want him to double major. My wife was more of a opponent to one major instead of two, because we know hard and he's into what everything he does. In high school, he used to come home and collapse on the bed. In college, you would a double major in music and the drama, the art, that goes till late in the evening. He'd be home 11:30 every night, have to get up early. So he would have been exhausted. But we told him, in a drop respect, we told him to not major in the arts. Go for the computer, something you can actually get paid and have a living. And you can always do the drama and the playing as a community effort or with friends on the outside, which is exactly what he does, and he's loving it. So I'm glad he did not go into the arts for a profession. It's extremely hard. A cousin of his, my nephew, is trying to be a comedian. And what have they been out of college like? Well, he only did one semester of college, his cousin. But he's trying to be a comedian. And whenever you go to an establishment to do a stint, you have to pay them, unless you have X number of people that you've brought, which are going to buy drinks. Kind of sick.
Yeah, the money goes round and round. Like, the groceries have to pay for shelf space at the grocery store. So you wonder why your groceries cost. Anyway, so, yeah, it goes round and round. I took computers in college. I still did some community theater. Did local productions here in New High Park, Wall Park, Rockville Center. So I had some fun times with that. My wife used to do community theater, but she'd be backstage. So we did one show together where I was on the spotlight, she was backstage, and then the group found out I can sing. But I didn't want to get into that show performing because I'd just come off a show. So I took the technical end of it for that show. Where does your son perform? I perform like Hicksville and around here. A couple shows and a bunch of shows in New High Park.
He's in a group that performs in Elmont. I don't know the name of the place, but I did see one of his performances there. It was in South Pacific, I think, in Elmont, just about a month or so back. He just finished 1776 in Elmont, and he is going to be the lead in Annie Get Your Gun. There's the St. Paul's group in the church in Brookville, and there's a group in Islip. I think it's East Islip. There are two groups out there. He was Prince in The Little Mermaid. He gets around. He sometimes does two plays at one time. I don't know how he coordinates it. For 1776, he went before the performance started. He was only in two rehearsals because he did everything on his own, because of his schedule. And he came into his rehearsal. He was right up to par. I can't remember the name of those plays. You might know the one in Elmont.
I saw him in Elmont. We gave my parents a present of tickets to the show in Elmont for 1776. And my brother and his wife wanted to come, and my other brother, his wife, and me and my daughters, we all went to the show in Elmont. Our friend, Jim Black runs the center stage out at St. Paul's. He was in the show in Elmont. So he finally got on stage. And lots of fun times. So I saw your son. Which, do you remember? remember which part he played. It's at the Elmont Theater. It's, I think it's Port Hollow, and they travel around. They do a couple of shows in Islip at the Baywood Art Center and at the Elmont Theater. So very good, and you get your gun, very good. You got the lead in that, so that's fun. Yeah, I saw him in Elmont, so I think it was a Sunday afternoon that we went to the show. Maybe you were there that time. N2QXI. It won last year. I forget what it was, but there's Marilyn McLean in New Hyde Park, and she does a bunch of theater up there. But she actually, I was at three shows with her, and then she was directing the shows at my daughter's school, and my daughter was in two shows with her. So to have the director direct my daughter too, it was a lot of fun. So Ted, you, how far into the city are you coming on your commute here? I'm just at my exit here after the Frog's Neck Utopia Parkway. Ted, how far is your commute?
I'm just going to the Lakeville Road, Northern Boulevard area. Probably another 15, 20 minutes. Depends on traffic. There's traffic westbound on the LI right now. Usually I'm off on Mondays, but I'm going to work today. Andy?
Ted, when I took that route, I used to take the North Service Road. Sometimes that's better. The expressway is pretty good. You might want to cut off at Steeringtown if you're going to go up north into Manhasset or Great Neck. But if you've done the route for a while, I'm sure you know it's just the best place to go. I did that for 8 years. Now I'm going the other way. Thank goodness I'm going against traffic. It's a lot easier. The only thing is the traffic lights on 347, down bypass. But nice out here because I get to stop at Maureen's Kitchen and have some blueberry pancakes once in a while.
TBS. The TBS, pick it up at 2QXI. Pick it up and pass it to Ted, please.
Hi, good morning, Bob and Andy and Ted. I just came from that way. I'm eastbound on the LIE, but I left from Maurice Avenue, and westbound is nasty. You probably want to try to get off before you get to the Cross Island, or certainly by the Clearview. It's really slow going once you get much further past that.
Actually, it was moving pretty well here. I'm on the exit to Steeringtown Road now, so it worked out. Just trying to inch over to get to the service road. I usually take it to Shelter Rock and then just go west on Shelter Rock. Andy?
Morning, Richie. How you doing? Are you just on your way back from from trucking, or are you just picking up a load?
Yeah, I'm on my way back home. I parked the truck in Queens where it belongs, and I'm heading home for a day. I go back out again tomorrow morning. Bob?
Hey, good morning, Richie. Safe trip, I hope. Travel a lot, go a lot of miles. Excellent. Andy and I were talking about his son is in theater. I've done some theater, too. Yeah, we know Jim and Kathy Black, Alex and Chris, and yeah, we know them for a bunch of years. Good people. And so say hello when you say hello. And Jim's in the Knights of Columbus, like I am, so we meet up at some of the Knights meetings. So that's always fun. So very good, Andy. I got a couple of more blocks before I head into the office. I'm up here on Whitestone, Queens, 10th Avenue, right along the water. And sometimes it's good, sometimes the breeze comes off the water. I'm going to pass it over to Rich, or Rich pass it to Ted. And we'll go around a little bit more. And 2QXI.
Hi, KTUPS Mobile. Just coming up to Port Washington area here on the expressway. Moving not too bad. It's funny about you mentioned Broadway, the Bayway and the Broad Hollow Theater. I used to subscribe there with my wife and a couple of friends, and we went to every production that they had. Most of the time we went to the one that was on Route 110, and a couple of times we went out to Bayway. This is going back 20 years or more, I guess. I'm trying to think of the guy's last name who was running it. Jerry was his first name. I remember Jerry and his wife, and he was a great guy. I don't know if he's still involved with it at all, but we had a lot of fun going to that live theater. It was quite enjoyable. You know, I found it a lot better than going to the movies. You know, nothing like live action. And it was always something, you could almost always tell something happened that maybe shouldn't have, or somebody slipped up, and that made it all the better. Ted?
I am on Shelter Rock Road. I have to make a stop, so I'll be out for a few minutes. But I'll be back. This is AA2GC. Andy?
Okay. I'm going to be in the office of Pawtucket pretty soon, probably another 5 minutes. It's like a clear shot. No traffic at all. It's nice when there's a nice holiday and everybody's away. Jewish holidays or when school is out, it's great. As I was mentioning, Joseph is very active, Bob. And it's time to just do plays at one time. Just finished 1776, and they're starting Guys and Dolls. And he was at the Broad Hollow, I think that's the one at St. Paul's. The one he was in by the Dowling College last time, he was in there. That's where he did South Pacific, and he also works in that Elmont group. But I'm going to catch up to Jim Black. I'll send him a note and tell him that I know you. What a small world it is. I'm going to put my hands back on the wheel for a minute. Pick it up, Bob.
You're good, Andy. And, that's fun. Fun and games. Yeah, they know my wife Eileen for years and years, so I'm trying to think of the nickname they call her, but they know her. Very good there. I'm parked, and I have to get into the office here, so 73 to all. I'll pass it to Rich. And thanks for the company and fun conversation on the way in. Hope everybody does well and had a good holiday. And to QXI, be going clear.
All right, Bob, 73, you have a good day. And I wonder if the Jim Black you're talking about was from Hicksville, because I knew a Jim Black years ago from Hicksville. I think he was in theater. I don't know if he was in that or not, but I wonder if it's the same guy. Who knows? Ted will jump in, I guess, when he comes back. Andy, go ahead.
Jim Black is a lawyer, and maybe it's the same one. I don't know how many Jim Blacks there are, but he is an attorney, and he tried to help my son Joe out with a camera speed ticket by the high school. Actually by the middle school at Jericho. The court date that he had set was so stupid. It was a date to set a date. He went in, Jim Black went in to help him out as a lawyer, and all they did was give him another day. And Jim tried to talk with the clerk about getting him off his ticket, and he said there's nothing he could do because he's not a judge and he can't make that decision. I believe these tickets, they have so many of these speeding tickets by the schools that they're putting them off. They're going to be busy with these, collecting money for a long time. I wanted to go in and actually fight this stupid ticket. I got it for 1 mile over, right after the cameras were set up. I understand it. No matter what, you're going to have to pay $30 for the court time. And the ticket itself is $50, $80. And if I take off an hour or two from work, it's not worth it. I'm going to start to lose money. 73, Bob. Have a good day. We'll catch you on the other side. Waiting for Ted. Go ahead, Rich.
That. I mean, you can go in and get the tickets thrown out, you still got to pay money for court time. It's like, this is going to get you one way or another. It's really nuts. Really nuts. And a good friend of mine had recently got a ticket at a hospital. This was during the heavy snowstorms. They had plowed up and literally almost buried the parking meters. This guy's not able to get around that well, and he had to go in for some tests, and he couldn't get to the parking meter. He came out and there was a parking ticket on his car because he didn't pay the meter. He goes, you couldn't.
Yeah, that's good. The county and these meter maids, a number of years ago, they came into the driveway. Actually, I came home from work, and I said, no, honey, where's the car? It's right outside. I said, no, it's not. Came in, they drilled the lock on the driver's side. Within a matter of seconds, they pulled up the left side of the dashboard, disconnected the alarm system. 30 days later, it was found hours, just a couple of hours, after the insurance company said, all right, we'll pay for your car. If it were a couple hours sooner, I would have been stuck with a car that was broken into. All they did, take a little joyride in Rego Park, and took the airbag. And there were 5 parking tickets on the windshield. Now, you would think maybe they'd have half of a brain cell to call in a car to the fire, to the police department. Hey, there's this car still here. I'm ticketing the thing. And find out if it's been stolen or not. But no, they don't have half a brain cell to figure these things out. Some of these people are, I hate to say it, but they're morons. And if people in the, some of these meter readers or the people that work in the state or the county would use their brain, things would go a lot smoother. But to cover a parking meter like that and make a guy responsible, another moron.
You just figure they'll just keep popping tickets on it, and you know, that takes effort to make a phone call and report something, so they'll just keep putting tickets on it. They're getting credit for writing tickets, so, you know, everything looks good, right? The way it all works. Oh well. It looks like a nice day today. I'm planning on going out with a couple of friends who might either hit the beach or one of the parks. Operate for a few hours. Be nice.
You take your 3 on the road with you?
Yes. When the weather's decent like now, I'll start bringing it to Chicago every other week when I'm on up during the layover there, because that can be anywhere from like 2 to 3 hours to as much as 8 or 9 hours. So I'll bring the KX3 and the jackite pole. I used to bring it and throw a wire with a metal weight, like an old spark plug or a hunk of metal, up onto the roof of the building. But they got security cameras all over the place. And sooner or later, someone's going to see me heaving this thing up there, and they're going to wonder what the heck I'm doing. So I figured this way, if I bring the pole, I can strap it onto the back of the truck, just like I do the back of the Jeep. I can park anywhere I want. I'm not bothering anybody, you know. I'm not touching the building. And then I can have fun for a few hours.
That would be funny if I just wait up on top of the building with your antenna out there. That is funny. That's good. Mentioned that it might take some effort for these guys to actually make a phone call when there are 5 tickets on my windshield. Well, you're probably right. I guess it would probably take a half dollar or so effort. Why do that when they can actually just eat another donut? Yeah, it's ridiculous. I gotta catch you one of these days, Friday or Saturday. Run over to Hicksville or go down to the beach or park with you. How this thing works. I opened up the antenna issue again last night. That's a little what I can do with a couple of antennas. Can't wait for the day when I can put these things, start making these. I'm not quite ready for it yet. Reading the article on the SWR. Interesting how that works. Very interesting.
If you want to go minimalist with an antenna, you know, least impact, almost no support structure, that has, you can do the NFET like we had built with the club. 9-to-1 on the NFET with coax, and then you can have the wire. I mean, we usually use like 30, 31 feet, and that loads up pretty much on 40-through-10 without any difficulties with the. Need an external tuner, though. The internal tuners in the radio were really just for